You'd turn with me in your Bible this morning. We're going to read from Psalm 78. And we're going to start at verse 52 and read through the end of the chapter there. Then after that, we're going to jump over to Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, just a couple verses there as well. So we'll begin at verse 52. But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid. But the sea engulfed their enemies. And so he brought them to the border of his holy land, to the hill country his right hand had taken. He drove out nations before them and allotted their lands to them as an inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their homes. But they put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes. Like their ancestors, they were disloyal and faithless, as unreliable as a faulty bow. They angered him in their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. When God heard them, he was furious. He rejected Israel completely. He abandoned the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had set up among humans. He sent the ark of his might into captivity, his splendor into the hands of the enemy. He gave his people over to the sword. He was furious with his inheritance. Fire consumed their young men, and their young women had no wedding songs. Their priests were put to the sword, and their widows could not weep. Then the Lord woke as from a sleep, as a warrior wakes from a stupor of wine. He beat back his enemies. He put them to everlasting shame. Then he rejected the tents of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. Now we're going to go to Galatians 5, verse 19. And I'll have to kind of explain the connection here, but we'll just read verse 19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I want to zoom in on the word jealousy there as an act of flesh. But then we see in verse 58 of Psalm 78, that they aroused God's jealousy. So we're going to kind of talk about that this morning, about what it means for God to be jealous, along with a few other things. Let us pray. Oh Lord, God Almighty, we come before you today. Lord, we have heard your word. Lord, we have read the words that you have written. And Lord, we just ask that you draw close to us today. May your presence be here. And Lord, may you be with me as I present this message. May these be your words, Lord, and not mine. And Lord, may you just open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds that we can understand a little bit about who you are, Lord, and how great your majesty is. Lord, hear our prayer now. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. Omniscient. These are a few of the big words that theologians use to describe God. These are a few of the things that we call God's attributes. things that help us understand who God is. For example, when we say God is omnipotent, it means he is all-powerful. When we say that he is omniscient, it means that he is all-knowing. And when we say that he is omnipresent, it means that he is everywhere present. And we also know that his word is infallible. The scripture that he gives us, this holy book, is infallible. It is true, every word on those pages. Even though at times they seem to contradict each other a little bit. So we're going to talk about some of that this morning. You know, we might understand some of these things. Some of us may have been taught some of these big church words growing up. Others of us may have never heard them. Or some of us, even if we heard them, maybe never thought about them much. For most Christians, I think it's safe to say that we can pretty much all agree that we know God is perfect. He is unable to make mistakes. He's perfectly righteous in all that he does and has done. If God were to sin, he would cease to be God. Therefore, it's impossible for him to sin. So today I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we as humans can get confused about when talking about God. In today's world, we as Christians often focus on God's love. We hear or say things like, God is love, or God just loves us so much. And while these things are absolutely true, sometimes we can begin to take God's love for granted. Something that we hear less often is that God is a just judge. We might hear this or think about it once in a while, but for most people it's upsetting to think about God as a righteous, just judge who actively sentences people to hellfire. It's not something we enjoy to think about or talk about. And finally, something that is nearly always glossed over or misunderstood is that God is a jealous God who can become angry. It's difficult for us to comprehend how God can be jealous and angry without sinning. And of course, we might even wonder how God can be all of these things and still be perfect and a never-changing God. So we're going to talk about all three of those. So first of all, I want to quickly point out a couple of things about God's love. We know from the scripture that God is love. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Comforting words, right? God's love is that agape love, the Greek word agape that means unconditional. No matter what we do, God still loves us. Even though we sin, even though we're imperfect, God still loves us perfectly. There is much more that I could say about God's love. And there's much more that I will as we talk about God's just judgments and the fact that he is a jealous God. But for now, we're just going to move right on to God's just judgments. I know that this may make some of us uncomfortable. However, this is a very real part of who God is. Psalm 9, verse 7 and 8. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. He created us equal. He judges us equally. He's perfectly righteous. He is a perfectly righteous God. And therefore, if he were to allow sin to go unpunished, he would himself be, in a way, guilty of sin. He cannot allow sin to go unpunished. Let's take, for example, if a judge, an earthly judge, has overwhelming evidence that someone robbed a bank, but he refuses to punish that person, that judge is kind of, in a way, guilty of allowing that person to get away with crime. We wouldn't want that judge to judge more criminals, would we? And it's also unfair for those who have not done a crime to allow those criminals to get away. You see, the moment that Satan brought sin into the world, God created a punishment for it because he is righteous and perfect. But because God is also perfect in love for his creation, he made a way of salvation, a way to escape the punishment from our sins. To Purdon's perspective, if God allowed sin to go unpunished, he would have ceased to be perfect and righteous God. And if he had not found a way of salvation for the humans that he had created in his image, he would have ceased to be a loving God and Father. Think about that. Now, I know that some people think God is unfair for sending unrepenting sinners to hell. But just think about it for a moment. God, as the righteous Father of all creation, out of love, chose to punish his only Son, who truly is a part of himself, in order to pay for the sins of those who call on his name and believe in him as their Lord and Savior. Imagine with me for a moment that you are the bank robber. You have overwhelming evidence against you. As you sit before the judge, you know you are guilty. So, out of humility, you plead guilty. You apologize for your sin and you repent. You truly repent. And in that moment, the judge looks at you in love and says, "Tell you what, you go free. I will let my Son serve the sentence for you." Now, the judge is still just because he requires punishment for the crime. He just transfers that punishment to himself and his Son. It's not that there is no punishment. That punishment just gets transferred. That is true love. But if you are a guilty criminal who, instead of repenting for your crimes, you say hateful words at the judge and are constantly looking for your next opportunity to break the law, well, then the judge has no choice but to punish you for your crimes. And he is also a just judge. That is who God is as a judge. He loves his people so deeply that he literally sentences himself to punishment for our sins. So we see that God is a loving God who is also a righteous judge. But how does his jealousy fit in there? We read in Galatians 5 that jealousy is a list of the acts of the flesh. It's one among many. And today we might think and understand that jealousy is one of the top motivators for murder and even theft in the world. In nearly every instance that we hear or use the word jealousy, we tend to think of it in a negative way. But the difference is that often when we speak about jealousy, we're talking about material things or personal qualities. As a man, I may say something like, "Man, I'm jealous of that guy's pickup." Or maybe we're jealous of somebody's house. Or a woman might be jealous of another woman for how she looks, or maybe the things that she has, her jewelry or whatever. We have those things, those material things that we're jealous of other people. And this type of jealousy is sinful because at best it makes us unhappy with who God made us to be and the things that he has given us. And of course, if we allow jealousy to build, it can lead to hatred in our hearts. And that can lead to things like theft and murder. It happens every day, unfortunately. That jealousy builds in people's hearts. So if jealousy is a sin, how can God be jealous? Even to the point that in Exodus 34, it says his name is jealous. "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." How can that be? We just spent a few minutes talking about how jealousy is a sin. You see, the jealousy that God exhibits is a righteous and holy jealousy for his church, for his bride. We are the bride of Christ. The universal church is the love of God's life, so to speak. He created us. He gave himself up for us by dying on the cross. He has every right to be jealous and angry when we stray away from him and begin to follow Satan's temptations. For those of you who are married, think about a time when you noticed someone getting a little too close and personal with your spouse. Did you feel a little bit of heat building up inside you? Maybe in your chest or your stomach? Did you talk to your spouse later about that person to find out more about them? Now, I'm not saying that you need to be jealous of every person that talks to your spouse. That's not what I mean. But there are people that maybe you have a reason to not trust. Or maybe you just don't know them. And you can feel some righteous jealousy. That righteous jealousy is a direct result of your deep love for your spouse. The same example can be used for our parents and for our children, for any member of our family, really, or anyone we care deeply about. As a parent, I love my children. So we can be rightly jealous of someone who is mistreating them, jealous for them. That's kind of what another word that the Bible uses is zealous. When we see someone drawing our children away from us, or our spouse away from us, or away from God, we can be rightly jealous of that. We want them back with us because we care for them. Now, of course, there is an unhealthy level of jealousy. that is more motivated by desire for control. And that jealousy leads to fits of rage that Paul speaks about in Galatians, which is also sinful and harmful. That's a whole other topic for another time. God is jealous of his people when he sees us flirting with the devil, so to speak. His jealousy is a direct result of his perfect love for us. As a spouse, it can give us a little bit of comfort when our spouse voices their concern based on some kind of internal righteous jealousy. It's nice to know that someone loves us so much that they're jealous for us, that they're concerned about our safety and well-being. In the same way, it should bring us much comfort to know that God loves us so much that he becomes jealous for us when Satan intervenes and tries to lead us astray. I want to leave you with this today. Remember that God is perfect. He's perfect and holy in all that he does. His judgments are just, and his jealousy is righteous. He cannot sin, or he would cease to be God. He truly loves all those who believe in him and call on his name. So go today, be comforted. Be thankful that we serve a jealous God. A God who will not allow sin to go unpunished. A God who is perfect in love. Amen.